Hi, everyone. It's Linda Perel, president of BRLC, and we do this lunch together and we'll continue in perpetuity.
Well, and you'll have a new sidekick starting next year.
Right, that's right. Bonnie Rennie's been elected president of Kahlua, and we both shook up our boards a little bit, and we're ready to take on some wonderful projects. Enjoy your lunch. We'll come back with our panel, and you can have your questions ready. It's bound to be incredibly interesting. Thanks for coming. No.
Okay, good afternoon. I'm going to bring the microphone around, and if you could introduce yourself to the group, that would be wonderful. I'm going to start at this table over here with Mr. Turner. Here comes the microphone.
Okay, thanks. Rob Turner, Silicon Valley Council, and BRLC, and Kahlua.
Good afternoon now. Alice Turner, Silicon Valley Council, Kahlua, and Guide Dogs, and I think other things too.
And moving to Linda here.
Hi, Linda O'Neill, ACB Capital Chapter, Sacramento. And I am in the Guide Dog Group, and I'm interested in BRLC and Kahlua.
Okay, I'm moving to this table in the back. I believe this is Bonnie.
Hi. Bonnie Rennie, Orange County. Chapter BRLC and Kahlua.
I'm Bob Rennie from Orange County Chapter.
Okay, and we're moving around the corner to Debbie.
Debbie Obregon, St. Gabriel Valley Chapter.
Phil Obregon from the San Gabriel Valley Chapter.
And moving up one table, we'll start over here, Mr. Barry.
This is Bill Barry from the San Gabriel Valley Chapter, and I am interested in joining library users and the Braille, BRLC. Hello.
And this is Debbie Barry, his wife and recording secretary of Kahlua. And I told him he was going to join. Not really. Not really. But anyway, I'm really glad to be here.
Gloria Broderick from Pasadena, the San Gabriel Valley Chapter.
And coming around the table,
Steve Mendelson from San Leandro, member of the Bayview Chapter, member of both affiliates, and purveyor of Kahlua 50-50 raffle tickets.
I'm Peter Pardini, San Francisco Chapter, Kahlua, and Guide Dogs.
Okay, moving back here to Zena.
Zena Rubel, San Gabriel Chapter, and CCB Rep for Braille Institute.
Here you go.
Laura Russo, San Gabriel Chapter, and Greater LA Chapter.
Thank you. Here you go.
Maureen Schultz, Alameda County Chapter, and Kahlua member.
Mike Gorman, Alameda, Bayview Chapter.
David Jackson and Guide Dogs.
Okay, and here we go into the back here. If you want to introduce yourself.
Good afternoon. My name is Chris Fendrick. I'm from the Greater Bakersfield Council.
Hello, I'm Gail Miller from the Yosemite Gateway chapter.
Here you go. Use the microphone from here.
My name is Tammy, and I'm from the San Fernando Valley, and I have a son who's visually impaired named Tarshish. And I was invited here by Jim to this brunch.
Jim Chamberlain, Glendale Burbank chapter.
Annie Doyle, Glendale Burbank chapter.
Okay, and here's the last table here. We'll start on this side. Here you go, in your right hand.
Frank Welty, CCV, First Vice President, member of San Francisco chapter, BRLC, Kahlua, Golden State Guide Dog Handlers, and I think that's enough.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. How can I top an introduction like that? This is Steve Voigt, temporary board of directors, Baby Chapter, CCB, and Kahlua and BRLC.
I'm Gina McGoy, member of Bayview Chapter, and I also just joined Kahlua.
Yes, I'm Anthony Signorello, I'm Glendale Burbank Chapter, and a member of BRLC and the Students Group.
And here you are.
Okay, this is Maria Mitchell. I'm Bayview Chapter, Lua, at BRLC.
Okay, and now I'm moving back to the head table here.
Hello, everybody. This is Richard Retha, CCB member and also a member of the Braille and Talking Book Library User Advisory Council.
And here you go.
Okay. Linda Porrell again.
And Judy.
I'm Pam Metz. Let's see. I got to go list. Board member, Kahlua. Guide dogs, because I'm not going to try to say all of it. So GS is my favorite way of saying it. Okay, and I chair domestic violence and hate crime and a few others.
Hello, this is Susan Glass, Silicon Valley chapter, Kahlua vice president, BRLC member, guide dog member, and ACB representative to the NLS special or the collections development.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's not my. No, just put it on my lap because I have no idea.
There's a flying microphone here. Let me.
As soon as Ronnie gets back and sets up our phone call with Gil Johnson, who's chair of the advisory committee in Northern California, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our panel. It'll be a little while before we actually get it because we're going to use this iPhone technology. But let me get my notes. Eat a minute, and I'll get there. Okay, Reed Strege, who passed around the mic, is based in Los Angeles. He oversees library operations and programs at the 6 Braille Institute centers, wow, throughout Southern California. Wow, 6. Gil Johnson, who will be calling in a few minutes, is chair of the California Braille and Talking Book Library Advisory Council. Did I get that right, Richard? I think I said it right. And our third speaker is the newest member of that advisory council, our own member,
Richard Retta, and who's instrumental this weekend in the Survive and Thrive event, and long member, board member. You know, Richard, I didn't prepare a bio because, by gosh, you've done so many things, and everybody knows you. So those are our three presenters.
Okay. I'm going to turn the microphone over to Linda, who's going to go ahead and proceed with our stalwart panel members who are present. Mike, the microphone is...
Hi, everyone. I hope you're all enjoying your lunch. We're going to have a conversation today with Reed Strage of the Strega. Is it Strega?
About Strage.
Strage, all right. Yes, yeah. All the E's. All right. We got it right now. Strage. We don't know how Jaws would say it. But anyway, Reed, as Judy introduced you, is the librarian in charge at the Braille Institute. And he and our good friend and companion Richard Retta are going to talk about how the advisory councils work and how you guys can have input in that process. So we'll hand it over to Reed and then Richard, and then time for some questions.
Well, thank you, Linda. My name is Reed Strage, and I'm the Director of Library Services for Braille Institute. I started working at Braille Institute and in this field last May, so I'm still quite new. And I would love, if nothing else from today, if we could keep this conversation going. Even if you don't live in my quote-unquote geographic area of responsibility, which is the 10 counties in Southern California, I would still love to hear from you. My counterpart, Mike Marlin up north, and I have been working together to find some ways that we can collaborate together, because I want all readers in California to have a voice. As I was saying earlier today, we are by far the largest group of readers in the country, and I'd love to join with you in advocacy for more and better reading materials. At Braille Institute, we have a Library Advisory Council. Who is on that council, by the way? I see one. We have a couple of folks here who join us. This group of people is really vital to what we do at the Braille Institute Library. It's crucial to have a user group of committed citizens that kind of help us make policies and procedures and decide what the strategy is for the upcoming years. I've worked in a couple of different environments at schools and public libraries and things like that, and at each stop along the way we've had some sort of committee or advisory group or citizens commission made up of people who don't work for the organization but who have expertise in the field to help guide the staff. And I think that it's so important to do so, because when you're a staff person and you're on your own, the tendency can be to kind of get locked into your own habits of doing your work in a certain way. And especially if you don't interact with users very often, or it gets very easy to kind of get set in your ways and to sort of drift a little bit. And the thing that I would ask of my group, and I have asked in the past, is that these types of groups do not be afraid to advocate. Don't be afraid to, bring up changes that they think are necessary. Most people are polite and respectful and professional, so it very rarely, if ever, has gotten personal over my career. But I always trust that people know how to present things to me in a way that is useful, even if they think it's maybe not what I want to hear. I'm a huge believer in the cliche that the squeaky wheel gets the grease, or the crying baby gets the milk, or whatever, you know, whatever your preferred cliche is with that. But it is so true. It just throughout my experience, and I can tell you is when I'm making decisions about resource allocation or what to do, if someone from one of the committees has presented a case to me or information in a coherent way that makes sense to me, you know, that squeaky wheel will get the grease. And I've worked with commissions before for cities where, you know, you meet once a month and you kind of chat, you might have lunch or something, and the director gives a report, and then there's a couple of perfunctory questions, and then it's like, okay, see you next month. Great job. We're all doing a great job. And while that's certainly more pleasant in the moment, I wonder how beneficial that is long-term for the organization. I think that would be my first suggestion. I mean, certainly those of you who are interested in joining our Library Advisory Committee at Braille, if you live in Southern California, I would love to hear from you. And then I could certainly put you in touch with the leadership of our committee. And I would love to hear from you regardless. So I'm going to pass it off to my colleague Richard here. Here you go.
All right. Can everybody hear me? All right. Good afternoon. So I'll bring you greetings from our director, Mike Marlin, and our chair, who's also a chair of the Braille and Talking Book Library User Advisory Council. I want to say committee, so I'm testing myself here. Gil Johnson, who was appointed by Judy for CCB's representative. Last month was my first meeting, so I'm a little green behind the ears. And as soon as I joined the meeting, our secretary was not there for the day, so I was asked to take notes. So trial by fire. And the Braille and Talking Book Library, we have now 15 positions, and currently 9 of them are filled. Some of you may have remembered up in Davis, Shannon Ramsey, who recently passed away. She was on our advisory council. So we currently have 9 positions and 6 openings. One of our focus areas right now is to get young people, teachers of the visually impaired, involved with our committee, as well as blind veterans. So if you're in the Northern California area, north of Fresno, and you're interested in the Braille and Talking Book Library, please reach out to Gil, Mike, myself, or anyone on the council. I know another, I'm looking at my talking points here because I'm pinch-hitting for Gil, who couldn't call in or isn't able to call in because of the mic issue. One of our biggest pushes recently is really doing outreach, getting to younger people. Last month we had a booth, an exhibit at the California Transcribers and Educators of the Visually Impaired CTEBVI conference, which is held in Northern California every other year and Southern California every other year. So it was in San Francisco last month, and our VTBL staff was there, and we did have a lot of interest, a lot of people at the table who only thought Bookshare was the only thing available to them. So it was let people know that there's plenty of services out there, not just Bookshare. There's Braille and Talking Book Library, and so on and so forth. So that's kind of a big push. I'm going to look at my notes here. Give me 1 second. We also represent blind and deafblind and people with other print disabilities. And then one of the other things we're doing in outreach is perhaps in May we're going to have a day at the Capitol where we're going to have an exhibit in one of the breakout rooms so the legislators and their staff can come in and learn about what the Braille and Talking Book Library is, what we do, and how we serve those with print disabilities, those who are blind and low vision and deafblind, and let them know how important that service is to Californians and how it is important with funding and how necessary it is. Judy or Linda, how do we want to do this? I covered the high points. Do you want to ask questions from the audience or ask us questions? Linda? I was asking you, sorry. She was negotiating dessert priorities. I was asking you, Linda, if you, I gave my spiel. Do you have questions for us, or do you want to open it to the audience?
Oh, and he dropped off your shortcake in front of you, too. Oh.
Okay, this is Reed again. Was wondering if anyone had any questions for Richard or for me about library advisory groups and councils and commissions. Yes, Mr. Mendelson.
Steve Mendelson here. My question is, how much discretion do local advisory committees or indeed local libraries have vis-a-vis the centralization of authority and decision-making through the NLS system as a whole?
That is a great question. And the conversation that we had this morning made me actually think of the exact same question, because I do not work for NLS. I'm not an employee of theirs. But I do have a set of standards and guidelines that I have to follow. So it is kind of an unusual relationship. I consider them to be a partner, and I want to always advocate for Braille Institute. What Susan Glass was saying earlier today about readers, a community of readers, maybe not necessarily staff people, being able to advocate directly to NLS, I think is a really excellent possibility, an opportunity, because if for example, I were to take the input that I received from my group and then call my contact at NLS, I mean, they'll listen to me because they're nice people and we work together, but I'm paid to be here. You know, this is my job. And I think what's even more, you know, it's sort of like when they tell you to call your congressperson. I mean, what is most impactful are citizens calling their congressperson, not someone who works for Congress calling the Congress. So I don't know if that makes any sense, but I would, yeah. Richard, do you have any thoughts about that? Okay. Does anyone else have a question? Let me ask you a question just by show of hands or clapping. Who is associated with some type of advisory council or readers group where you're associated with a library now? Just a few? I see just a couple of hands go up. Okay. Well, there's certainly an opportunity. Certainly, it sounds like those of you that live up north, the Sacramento group is, did you say you have six unfilled? Yeah, six unfilled positions. I'm, as I said, I'm a big fan of these citizen-type advisory committees, because your voices, if you're doing it on your own time, from your own source of energy, I think is just going to be more meaningful than if a staff member does it. Yes. Did you have a question, Mr. Berry? No. Yes, Debbie. Here comes the mic.
Hi again. I don't know if this is in your scope. Maybe somebody in this room has a definitive answer. But the Martha Harmon Pardee issue, you know, a lot of us, she's one of our favorite narrators, and, you know, she lost her job, and I guess, you know, lost her temper and lost her job and whatever. There was some kind of misunderstanding or something that happened, and there was a lot of, there were a lot of emails and letters and phone calls to NLS saying, you know, please give her a job back. It was just one of those, you know, momentary things. And I was wondering if anything came of that.
I am totally unfamiliar with this situation. Does anyone? I'm going to have to get more info about. What's a book title that she narrated that is popular? Like, what's her? Does she have one that's just like? Oh, J.D. Robb, sure. Yeah. Yeah, these narrators are truly extraordinary. I got the chance when I was back there in October to watch part of a book being made, and it was incredible. Incredibly labor-intensive. I mean, it takes them like a month. Yes. Yes. Here you go.
This may sound silly, but I am really not familiar with the advisory committee. So can you just, you or Richard, could you tell us what you do? Do you select books? Do you, you know, what is it that the advisory, what's the function?
I'm going to throw this one to Richard.
The way I understand it to be is the advisory council members are there to advise the Braille and Talking Book Library staff in Northern California. For our purpose is to listen to their updates. For example, at the March 4th meeting, it went from 10 to 3. Incidentally, the next meeting is on July 15th, and it's obviously open to the public. We heard from Greg Lucas, the state librarian. We heard concerns about how there may be budget cuts and how they are currently underfunded. We made recommendations as their advisory body to the Braille and Talking Book Library as to the different standards that they adhere to. And a lot of it's a lot of updates from the various staff and their various roles, and advising them based on the feedback we get from the community on how it can function even better. Again, it's strictly an advisory body. We're not paid in any manner other than travel if you're coming from the Bay Area to Sacramento or Fresno to Sacramento. We really listen and advise, and then they come back with recommendations at the next meeting as to this is what we've done or this is what we're able to do based on your feedback and the feedback from the community. And, for example, I signed up, was encouraged to apply because my background is with youth and young adults, and my quasi-commitment to the advisory council is to really be that outreach person to young people and to let them know what BTBL is, what they do, how they function, and why it's important to them. So it's advisory, and it's also outreach as an extension of what they do. Does that sort of answer your question? And while I have the mic, I had a second page of notes here that I didn't see earlier. So just so that you know, the BTBL User Advisory Council in Northern California, we serve over 48 counties. We work with three regional libraries, I think Fresno and Sacramento. Braille Institute, correct, Reed, is its own entity for the Braille and Talking Book Library. So if you're in Southern California, you're going to go to Braille Institute, and I think Fresno North, you're going to go with the Braille and Talking Book Library. Is that correct? Okay. Concerns for the future, these are the notes Gil wrote. Funding from the feds, we all know that, all too well. More financial support from the state, and there will be a CCP resolution that's being worked on right now that will be on the floor Sunday. So it'll be to encourage the state to fund BTBL and its legacy services so that it's always there for folks. Okay, hold on one second. Advise and recommend to the BTBL what we do. I'm reading some notes here out of order. Help expand number and breadth of patrons to the BTBL. Participate in outreach and participation, including the legislators. These are some of the purposes of the advisory council. And then to share info about BTBL. Okay, Linda.
So you meet quarterly, is that right? And is it a Saturday meeting? And can people attend by phone, or do they insist on people being there? How does that all work?
I'll answer it from the So for the BTBL, User Advisory Council, in March was my first meeting. I understand that we meet 3 to 4 times a year. We're not as official or as like crazy like the Blind Advisory Committee for Rehab. It's a little more loose in that we're not bound and appointed by the governor. We're appointed by the BTBL staff. And they make sure your transportation's paid for. So to my knowledge, all meetings are public. The next meeting will be on the 15th of July, and it'll be from 10 to 3:30 at the State Library at 900 N Street in Sacramento. And if you're an advisory member, your transportation will be paid for. At this time, I don't know if there is a call-in number or a way to participate by phone, but these are the things that I can bring back to Mike Marlin in the council and let them know that if you guys are interested, perhaps we can make that a means for people to at least listen in.
Thank you. Does anyone have any other questions? I did turn the mic up a little bit. As far as I know, and Zena, the Braille Library Advisory Committee meets, no. Gosh, we meet quarterly as well. Yes, quarterly.
I do know that, this is Richard again, the BTBL has an endowment. We have some $800,000 to $900,000 in the endowment that what I heard at the last meeting is it often funds BTBL staff, for example, to go to conferences that are very important for the library system to learn about trends and things. It's like coming to this conference for a rehab counselor for professional development, and often those the conferences wouldn't have been able to be attended to by those library staff because the travel budget is below zero, you know, and you're an estate employee and for the library system. So they look at to these endowments. They've had a lot of bequests in their time, so they don't like to use that money for that travel, but they have to if they want to stay current and attend certain conferences that are critical to the mission of what they do. And again, they want to use that endowment money more for the library system and for outreach and other things that are going to bring in more members.
One more question. Okay, I'm going to bring the microphone to you.
So it's actually for you, Reed. What's your background? Do you have library science? What's your background? I'm curious.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I used to work at the public library for many years. I worked for the County of Los Angeles, and then I was the city librarian in the city of Azusa, which is in the San Gabriel Valley. I worked there for about 5 years, and then I just saw this job at Braille Institute on the American Library Association website. And I'm very passionate about helping people with different abilities. My brother is severely disabled, and my family is just a huge part of who I am and what we did. So being able to kind of meld love of libraries and then helping people is like a really rare once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and I'm just loving it. People are so kind, and it's not without its challenges, of course, but... And coming to groups like this and chatting with people is just very meaningful for me. So I hope that we stay in touch, even if you don't live in my quote-unquote Southern California area. I think we have a lot in common. So does anyone have any other questions? Okay, thank you. I'm going to go ahead and give the mic back to Linda now.
Well, thanks, everyone, for coming and having lunch. I guess we'll have a little breather between now and the 1:30 session, where our wonderful president will give her first address, not to be missed, and then we will have a new, newly created candidates forum this afternoon before the election this evening. So please all do plan to spend some time in... the general session, but also maybe visit the exhibits, which I'm hoping to do at some point to to staff one of the tables and just look around for things to bring home. So have a lovely afternoon. I'll see you all soon.